I'm going to title this message tonight, Seduced by Silence. Seduced by Silence. And then the Lord gave me this simple subtitle. And it's simply this, that it's time to get serious with God. It's time to get serious with God. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 50. The mighty God, if you would just stand for this one portion and then I'll let you be seated. Even Yahweh, which when you see Lord, that's the proper, the name was removed, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. Our God shall come. I wish somebody would say, Our God shall come.
Shall come.
And shall not keep silence. The Lord spoke to me today and he said, a lot of people have been seduced by my silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very stormy round about him. God's coming with a storm. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may love on his people, that he may wrap you in his arms and just doodle over you. He is coming to judge his people. Gather my saints together. See, Satan hates the gathering. Sister Ruthie was preaching on my message tonight. Do you know the verse that we often quote, where two or three are gathered together? Listen to me. That was not given to us to use as an excuse for a small church. Well, there's only two or three. No, what he was saying was, I'm in the gathering. There is something about the gathering that produces mysteries in God. He works in the gathering, and Satan desires to stop the gathering. Now, we have a large following on the internet, but I tell them all the time, you can't have an internet pastor. You can't have an internet preacher or an internet church. You must find the gathering of the believers. Why? Because when they begin to shout hallelujah in one accord, there's a mystery that begins to work in the spirit, and it shatters the kingdom of darkness over Waveland, Mississippi. But if he can put you in that corner, me in that corner, somebody else in the other corner, then we become a disjointed building.
That's right.
I heard somebody say, Brother Vaughn, I am the church. You're a liar. The Bible said that you are one stone fitly joined together with all the other stones. That makes up the church. God said, gather my saints. I want them together.
That's right.
I want my saints together.
Right.
Unto me, those that have made a covenant. Now listen, he's going to tell you what a saint is. A saint is not somebody that says I'm saved. It's somebody that's made a covenant with God.
That's right.
Now in the Old Testament, they did it by sacrifice. But we do it today by water baptism. He said, gather my saints together that's coming to covenant through mikvah or water baptism in my name. Gather them together. Read. Verse 6. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Read.
Praise God.
Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, if you're in this room tonight, you're Israel. He said, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even your God. I'm not their God. Notice who he said to gather around. The saints. Judgment begins where? In the house of God. He said, gather them together. You tell them that when they come, they must prepare for judgment. To have been content. He said, I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings, to have been continually before me. Listen, read. I don't want any bullocks out of your house. Listen what he said. I don't want you to bring me no fake worship. Oh, now feel my preaching. He said, I don't want you to bring me no shouting and dancing that don't have a life behind it. I don't want you to bring me your tithe that you didn't want to give. I don't want anything from you. Next verse. For every beast of the forest is mine. You talk about you're going to bring me something. He said, it's all mine. And the cattle of a thousand hills. Read. I know all the fowls of the mountains. I know every one of them by name. And the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. That's what your God said. I don't need nothing from you. For the world is mine. And the fullness thereof. Read. Will I eat the flesh? Or am I going to eat your animals? What do you want to try to impress me for? With your buildings, you want to build me a bigger church? He said, do you really believe that's what I'm looking for? Oh, if we could just build God a bigger church. He said, keep it. I've got a big place called the earth. I fill it all. Read the next verse. But offer unto God thanksgiving. I don't want nothing from you but a grateful heart. And one more thing. I want you to keep your promises to me. That's all I want from you. I just want you to keep your promise. What promise, Brother Vaughn? You made it in the waters of baptism. Remember the covenant? God said, if you will obey me, I will be your God. You will be my people. Keep your promise. That's all I want you to do. I just want you to keep your promise. Woo! I want you to keep your promise. Tonight, I want to preach to you. Seduced by silence. God bless you. You can be seated for just a moment. I'm not going to keep you very long this evening, but I have not preached in 2 months, so I don't know how that's going to work. Hallelujah. Do you take God seriously? And this is something now, when I preach tonight, I'm preaching to the cameras. These messages go to Africa, all over the world. So if I say something, I'm not picking on nobody here. I'm preaching to the world tonight. Do you take God seriously? Yes. Now, most Christians today do not take God seriously because they've been told that God is no longer serious. They have moved into a place in their walk with God where they want you to make them laugh. I've had people tell me, Brother Vaughn, I don't come hear you preach because it's always gloom and doom. I want somebody to motivate me. I want somebody to make me feel better about myself. I want to make you feel so bad about yourself that you'll die. Do you know the job of the preacher is to teach you the difference between the clean and the unclean? It is not the man of God's job to make you feel good about yourself, but rather to feel good about your God. Because the worse you feel about yourself, the more you'll feel about your God. Oh, your righteousness is filthy as rags, but his righteousness, oh, is life everlasting. Oh, we've got to get about God. I grew up in an age where the saints were serious. I'm telling you. Y'all may not remember those services where we had what was called a holy hush. Do y'all remember those services where all of a sudden the church would go dead quiet because that holy hush would come into the room? The saints were serious about God. We're living in a church age where there is no more seriousness about the things of God. We are looking to be placated, pacified, lied to, anything but to get serious about God. Listen, we need men of God that will roll up their sleeves one more time and get serious about the coming of the Lord and the things of God. We need to get serious about God. I want to read to you in verse 17 of the same chapter. He said, I'm going to break my silence.
Yeah.
I'm going to break my silence. Here's the reason we don't take God seriously. Because we have mistaken his silence as his approval on our sin and on our ways of doing things. But he said, when I come, I'm going to break my silence. Because the church has been seduced by silence. His silence is misinterpreted as approval. We really think that we can dance and not pay the piper. We really believe that. We really believe we can sin in God's church. We really believe that. We believe it's nobody's business how we live. We really, Sister Hope, believe that. We believe that God's love has negated God's law. We believe that holiness is a word of a bygone era. Honey, holiness is not a word. Holiness is the character of the God that we claim to serve. It's time to get serious about God. I wonder tonight how many people under the sound of my voice remember the days in your walk with God when you were serious about God, when church meant everything to you, when prayer meant everything to you, when the tithe came out of your purse before your light bill. Everything about God was serious to you. I remember the church I grew up in. If a child came on the platform, they'd whip his behind. Why? They were serious. We've lost the seriousness of God. But God said, I sent this pandemic upon the earth to give you the warning shot. You're fixing to get serious about God one way or the other. How many of you 2 months ago would have ever believed, if I would have got up here and preached to you, that there would come a day that we couldn't have church because of a plague? You would say, no, we've got the best medicine in the world, the best doctors in the world. We were proven in one day how serious things can get in one moment. While you're playing with God, God's got a plan that's bringing us to the end of the race. It's time to get serious about God. You make a mistake when you presume on God's patience in your life. You make a great mistake when you presume upon his patience in your life. When you mistake, see, God is patient. God is loving and God is kind. And God is sometimes silent. But he said, I'm going to break that silence. Why? Because you mistook that silence as approval. Just like a child, whenever you don't whip him after so long, when you let him by with it so long, what will they begin to think? You're over it. Yeah. I remember at church when I was a child, and back then at the Sunday school teacher, if we got in trouble in Sunday school, we got in trouble at home. It's not like that anymore. Now the Sunday school teacher gets in trouble. I'm telling you what I know. When I was a child, if they marched you out of that Sunday school class and embarrassed your mom and dad in front of the whole church, you knew it was coming when you got home. You already knew it. It wasn't going to be Sister So-and-so getting in trouble. It was going to be you. So all the way home, you would fake like you were sleeping. Oh, y'all never fell asleep like that after church in the car, hoping and praying that by the mom and them had such a good time in the Holy Ghost, they'd forgotten it. See? Now, let's say that they did forget it. What did that just tell me? They're over it. Whenever you think that God is over sin, you make a grave mistake in your life. The church of the living God has been living in sin. What is sin? The transgression of the law of God. The church has so long taught that God has no more requirements for people. The church has so long taught that God makes no demands on you. You've fallen for that bunch of bull. And now the church cannot get serious about a God that's not serious about sin. We've got a different God now. I said, we've got a different God. We've got Santa Claus and we call him God. We've got a different God, Daddy. We've got a God that has decided he's okay with shacking up. He's okay with homosexuality. He's okay with running your brother and sister down. He's okay with all of that now. You listen to me. Just because he's been merciful, just because he's had grace, just because he's been patient, don't ever believe for one second that he's okay.
That's right.
It's time to get serious about God. Go back to that chapter, Brother Ken. I want to keep reading. I want to show you now. Go back to Psalms 50, wherever we left off. There's more there I want to dig in. Feel the Holy Ghost tonight. God said for me to tell the world it's time to get serious about God. It's time to get serious about God. It's time to hate sin again. It's time to hate complacency. Oh, it's time to get a passion in your soul about the church, the house of God. See, this is the house. This is where the church gathers. Oh, he loves these places where his people come. Psalms chapter 50, Brother Kent, wherever we left off. And call upon me in the day of trouble. But here's what he said. Here's what I love about the Lord. He said, I'm coming on a storm, but if you'll just call on me, my God, if you'll just bow down, if you'll just turn from your sin, here's what he said, I'll deliver you, and then you'll give me the glory. Next verse. But unto the wicked, God saith. Now this was to the one that would call on him. That was not the wicked. But there's another group of people that's never going to get serious about God. He said to them, what has you to do? You don't want nothing to do with my law. Oh, you want something to do with my church, but you don't want nothing to do with my law, my commandments. You don't want nothing to do with holiness, sanctification. He said, that makes you wicked. Or that you should take my covenant in your mouth. You don't want nothing to do with the promises. You don't want to promise me nothing. I'm preaching to somebody. You don't want to promise me nothing. You want to take, you want to be a whore in the store. You want to be on the candy shelf taking, but you don't want to make any promises. I'm preaching now. You, the God this church serves is a God that requires nothing. He said, you don't want to make no promises to me. Read. Seeing that you hate preaching.
By mine. Yeah.
You like motivation. You like smiling preachers. You hate for somebody to plow your field. You hate for somebody to rip you open and expose your rebellion. You hate that preacher. You call him a legalist. You call him a God bondage. You hate instruction. That makes you wicked. But notice they're sitting in the church with the saints. And you cast my word, oh my God. Behind you. Behind you. You'll take my presence, my healings, my miracles. You want it all, but you don't want a promise. You don't want to give one. You don't want to make a covenant. You want a one-night stand with God on Sunday night. It's time to get serious about God. I'm going to church tonight to get a word. You can't handle a word. Not a real one. Because a real word will cause you to open your heart and say, God, if I've run my brother down, my sister down, if there's anything, I want to get serious with you, oh God. I heard the Lord say, it's time to get serious with God. Don't be seduced by my silence. Read. He said, when you saw a thief, and you was just fine with him being a thief. And then you saw somebody committing adultery in the church and you said, we can't judge them. The biggest lie you ever believed was judge not. It's the biggest lie Satan's ever fed the church. Do you know the Bible does not tell you to judge not? It says quite the opposite. It says that we're going to judge angels, that the saints are going to judge the whole world. How are we going to judge the world if we can't judge one another? See, that's kind of preaching, that's instruction. You don't want to hear that. You want to believe, don't judge me if I don't. The Bible told me to know them that labor among the house of God, and to know you, I got to judge you. How are you going to know a false prophet if you don't judge him? Oh, Brother Vaughn, Jesus said, don't go there, because that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, judge not unless you yourself are ready to be judged by the same judgment. In the next few verses, he tells them to judge every tree by the fruit it bears. The problem in the church, you have believed that lie of hell, judge not. Let me tell you something. The Bible tells you judgment begins right here. What did Paul say? He said, why are y'all taking one another to court? What did he say? Shouldn't you be able to judge these matters among yourselves? Well, we can't judge, Paul. It's a mess, children. The church is a mess. Because they have believed these lies, the sophistry of Satan, the contumelous lies of hell. God is commanding you to judge yourself and to judge those in the house of God. You've got to judge this message tonight. You've got to judge if I'm a false prophet. But if Satan can convince you not to judge me, see, you'll believe everything I tell you. Satan has messed it all up. Listen to what he said. You saw adultery in the church and you were fine with it. Yeah. Next verse. Thou givest your mouth to evil and your tongue is deceitful. Read. You sit and talk about Sister Hope. You sit in church and you talk about Sister Justina. And you get by with it because you don't think you're supposed to be judged. But when a real man of God gets behind the pulpit, you're judged already, because the word of God that he's going to preach is going to judge you from the top of your head to the sole of your foot, because it's time to get serious about God. The Bible said, come into the congregation and lift up what kind of hands? Holy hands.
That's right.
Read. No, go back. Go back. Let's read that last. You sit and speak against your brother in the house of God. You talk about one another. He said, let me tell you something. I'm going to break my silence on it. I've let it go. But I'm going to break my silence. And your mother's son, you run everybody down. You know why you do it? There's no fear left in the pulpit. There's no fear. You don't have a preacher. You got a talker.
That's right.
God, restore to the pulpit men who can preach. Men who can preach without fear. They need backbones instead of spaghetti spines. Somebody that can preach to me, change my life, and get me right with God. Read. These things have you done. And I what? I kept silent. I let you by with it. I let you believe that you was getting by with it. I let you run your preacher down. I let you run one another. I let it go. I'm going to teach you why in just a moment. You thought that I was like a human, that I would forget. That's what he said. You thought that I was just like y'all. He said, you thought I was going to go to sleep, but he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. He said, you thought you could fake me out till you got home. You thought the church thinks that because his presence is still filling the room with sin in the camp, that God has, I'm telling you, I feel the Holy Ghost. It's time for the church to get serious about the things of God. I'm telling you, I miss the days when the altars were puddles of water. Now the only time they'll come to the altars if you'll slay them out in the spirit and give them another lie about some kind of blessing they're going to get. You don't need a blessing. You need a beating in the altar where God takes you and kills you and makes you a living sacrifice. Listen what he said. But I will. Listen what he said. I'm going to set things in order. I hear the Lord said, I'm going to set things in order in your life. Now I'm preaching to somebody now because I know when I get a check in the Holy Ghost, somebody's got some secret sin. And God said to tell you, I'm going to set things in order. Read. Now consider this. You that forget God. That's what I want to do to you. I'm going to tear you to pieces. Nobody's going to recognize you.
That's right.
Now, this is the God that nobody wants to hear about. I understand this is the Old Testament God. You better drop that bunch of, you've been deceived.
Right.
And there won't be nobody to deliver you when I tear you to pieces. I'm going to tear you to pieces. Why? Because you forgot that I was watching. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. There's a Father up above looking down with tender love, and he's letting you by with it. But be careful, he said, but I'm coming to tear you to pieces. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Now, I say that to you tonight, but I want to say this. Do you know how you can stop the tearing? Do you know how hard it is to stop that? The bend of a knee.
That's
The bend of a knee.
Thank you, Lord.
Will stop it all.
Amen.
Faster than judgment comes, God will take it back at the bend of a knee.
Yes.
If God's people would humble themselves and call on heaven and look to heaven expecting as they pray, God would take judgment off of America. I said God would take judgment off of America. But because the church is full of sin, God's not worried about the world, but he's about to tear his church to pieces. You ain't seen preachers in handcuffs enough. You ain't seen what God's about to expose, the weakness of the church. Why it all starts here. You don't see no doctors getting arrested for. No, you see preachers. Because judgment begins in the house of God. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do you unto them, for this is the law and the prophets. Quickly. Enter you in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many go in that way. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth to life. Few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you with a beautiful message. The one that everybody likes. The one that has best-selling books. The one that everybody wants to hear what he's got to say. Beware of him. But inwardly, they're ravenous wolves. You shall know them by their fruit. Read on the next verse. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth fruit. Let's keep going. I'm going to show you what fruit he's talking about. Let's go to the next one. Next one. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But only he that obeyed the covenant, that kept his promises to me. What did we start off with? Remember where we started? I don't want you to burn offering. I want you to keep your promise. He said, those that do the will of my Father. Next verse. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, I'm prophet so and so. I was filled with the Holy Ghost. I prophesied in your name. You know, this is the scariest verse in the Bible to me, because that could be me on that day. Listen, he said, in your name we cast out devils. Now, wait a minute. Jesus said you can't cast the devil out if you got devils in you. So these have got to be Holy Ghost filled people. Oh, yes. They made a covenant in the water. They made a promise in the water. This is what he said. In thy name I've done wonderful works. Next verse. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that break the law of God. Now before you think I added to the word, look up the meaning of the word iniquity. Lawlessness. You that wanted my love but despise my law. Yes, you caught, yeah, you prophesied, you did all that, but you weren't serious about God. I'm preaching to somebody tonight, it's time to get serious about God. Turn to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 16. What happens to these fools that don't obey God? 1 John 5:16. If any man see his brother sin a sin, now this is an interesting verse of scripture, which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. But there is a sin unto death. And listen to what God said. Don't pray for that person. Now you know that's a strange scripture, is it not? God says that there's some people ain't no need of praying for them. Who are those people? Are you one of those people that God has put you off limits for prayer? Folks, if that don't make you get serious with God right here, I don't know what will. He said, in my church, there's a group of people. Don't pray for them. Because they're on the third stage of they're on the third stage of divine discipline. I'll pay y'all tomorrow. They're on the third stage of divine discipline. Third stage. God has three stages of divine discipline. I'm going to teach this to you and I'm done. Go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, Brother Kent. Look at the screen with me. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise not thou the beatings of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked, not by the devil, but when you're rebuked by God. I want to talk to somebody tonight that's drifting too far from God. God has devised a plan to save you. God has devised a plan, not for the world, but for those that came through the water. For those that made a covenant with God. This scripture only applies to my son. Everybody ain't the son of God, but you are, Brother David. This verse only applies to my sons. See? For those in the house of God, I got a different way of dealing with y'all than I do with your neighbors. He said, don't make the mistake of despising the discipline of God. And don't make the mistake of fainting or giving up while he's beating you. What's the difference in a fool and a wise son? The fool despises it. But the son embraces what God's doing in their lives. The fool says, I didn't sign up for this. I signed up for salvation. The fool says, I came to get the blood, not to get the beating. You're a fool. The wise son says, here's my cup. Fill it up, Lord. Change me. Break me. Rearrange me. Take that tongue out of my mouth. Change me, oh God. Don't despise that side of God. But that's the very side we run from. The greatest sign that your mother loved you was when you was being beat to a bloody pulp. Listen, children. Child molesters don't whip children. Parents do. God's not a child molester. He don't care if you like him or not. Daddy, God don't care if you like him or not. He's got one job, to prepare you for the coming kingdom of God. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. He is working in your life. My son, don't despise that. If you can still, he has called you to be chastised. Yes. 2 Timothy 2, 25 through 26. Let's read it. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, verse 26, that they may recover themselves. This is stage one. Before God breaks his silence in your life, he's going to let you try to recover yourself. Watch this. Watch. Stay with me now. I'm going to preach to you. When you begin to backslide, When you begin to drift and no longer take the things of God serious. How do you know when you no longer take the things of God serious? Did missing church last time bother you? No, you're not taking the things of God serious anymore. Did robbing the tithe not bother you anymore? You got a problem. Daddy, you got problems, and they're adding up quicker and quicker. You're no longer taking these things serious. So here's what he said. I want you to pray for people that are backsliding. Here's why. That I might grant to them repentance, that they might recover themselves out of the snare of not taking things serious anymore. Now, what does this mean, that I might give them repentance? I want to say this as plain as I can. Do you know why God tells you to pray for all men? Do you know why you pray for your children that are lost? You're not praying for them to get saved. Oh, no, no, no. Because they can't get saved. John 6:44 is plain. No man can come to me unless I send out a call. Brother Vaughn, I remember when I got saved. No, you don't. You remember when he saved you. You didn't do nothing. You didn't even want to get saved. You didn't even think about salvation. Salvation found you through the preaching of the Word of God. Listen to me carefully now. God gives you a space to repent, and it's a supernatural act of grace. Nothing you can do to earn that. It's a gift that comes from God. How many remember when he first gave you that space to repent? I want to talk to you about repentance real quick. Sister Justina, you're not praying for your son to be saved. You are praying and petitioning God to send him a call. Halabahosatai. As many as the Lord our God shall what? As many as he shall call. No man comes to God. The Bible said no man seeks after God. Did you know the Bible said no man seeks after God? God seeks after man. And you know how he does it? Through the prayers of the saints. Now listen, I'm going to get somewhere in just a moment to help you out with this. You've got to have a call to repentance come into your life. And here's what he said. He said that I'm going to give you an opportunity to hear the call to repent, that you can save yourself from me breaking my silence in your life. I know you've gotten by with it. How many in this room, you ain't got to raise your hand. How many in this room are very thankful that God never made you settle some debts? You didn't get caught. How many is thankful you didn't get caught? Do you know the only difference in you and the man in jail? He got caught. You didn't. Oh, don't act religious on me now. Don't act like you're something special now. If you broke 1 mile of the speed limit, you broke the law. And if that's the case, you ought to be just as guilty as somebody that got caught doing it, see? That's the only difference. They got caught, you didn't. There's, in your life, brother, sister, how many things has God let you by with? And you know he did. He didn't call in the debt. Why? You found a place to repent. He said, first I'm going to let you repent. If that don't work, let's go read Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. God has 3 levels of dealing with you when you don't take him serious. Number 1, he sends you a warning. Romans 2 and 4. Do you despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the only reason he's been patient with you, the only reason he's suffered long with you, is he's hoping that his goodness will do for you what he don't want to do for you? The times he let you by with it, it was his hope that you would go to church the next week. And the man of God would preach under such anointing that you would find a place to repent and save yourself. He said, but what happens is you went to church and you felt my presence again. You felt the Holy Ghost. And you said, well, maybe God don't care that I'm living in sin. I know somebody right now. I know without a shadow of a doubt they shacked up preaching the gospel. I know it. Shacked up right now. Shacked up. I can take you to their house. They sleeping together and they ain't sweeping. They sleeping. And they are preaching in churches, Pentecostal churches all over this country. I know it. And can I tell you something else? The Spirit of the Lord is moving. Oh, yeah. That's the part. That's the part that confuses everybody. It's called the goodness of the Lord. He's hoping that while they're doing that, they would hear that warning shot from heaven and say, listen to the word of God and repent. Stop it. Don't make me wake. Break my silence.
My God.
Do it yourself. Recover your own soul. Don't make me do it. Service after service, week after week. God don't care if I don't pay my tithes. I'm still making good money. That's called the goodness of God. God don't care what I'm doing. No, that goodness is trying to lead you to this altar.
Right.
He's hoping that you'll love him so much for his goodness that you'll give it up. The first sign that you're backsliding is when you quit taking God seriously. When you start disregarding his commandments. When you become nonchalant. When holy things become common. Galatians 5:4. Galatians 5:4. Christ has become no effect to you because why? You are fallen from grace. Many of you, it was God's grace that gave you the call to repent, but you're falling from it. God's got a plan for you. God's got a plan for you. Job 5:17, and we're coming to a close. It's time to take God serious. Job 5:17-18. Thank you, Lord. In my own life, I've experienced what I'm preaching to you tonight. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. Next verse. For he maketh sore. I love this verse. He maketh sore, but then he'll bind you up. He woundeth, but then he comes right back around after he's wounded you. And he finds you down in the altar.
Thank you, Lord.
After you've lost everything you love. After you've been to prison, after you've had disease in your body, after nobody recognizes you, look like an old man, he comes right back. He did all that. Oh, yes, he did. Why? To drive you right to where he drove you to. That your soul might be saved. And after he gets through wounding you, he pours in the oil and the wine.
Yes.
Mighty God.
And heals every broken part. God's not mad at you. But remember what I'm telling you. Remember what I'm telling you. God has no grandchildren. Mama, your children got correction from you, but your grandchildren, not so much. God's not your grandfather. He's your father.
Amen.
He don't care if you're wearing the finest clothes. He don't care. He wants you whole to serve Him. And He is going to do whatever it takes to make you cry mercy. When you get into an arm wrestling match with God, somebody's going to cry mercy, and it won't be Him. It's time to get serious with God.
That's right.
It's time to let that lackadaisical spirit, you're backsliding. You don't even know it. You're backsliding. You don't even know it. You're trying to push away the punishment. One or two things, Sister Ruth, is going to happen to the backslider. One or two things. He's going to realize that this is God dealing with him. And he's going to cry mercy. Or he's going to get mad at God. At that moment, oh God, I need you to work with me now. Remember we talked about the sin unto death? When God can't work with his sons, he's done with them. I'll tear you into pieces if you don't submit to the potter.
That's right. That's right.
And let me form the clay.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus.
God says when you see somebody that has rejected the chastening of the Lord,
that's right,
that's the sin unto death. Next, stage number one, a warning shot. What is that warning shot? I want to read it to you. David, I'm closing. I want to talk to you about these three stages. What David said, Psalms 38, I believe. Brother Ken, I can't get to all these scriptures. So we're going to skip over to Psalms 38. I'm trying to close. I'm telling you, God has been dealing with me. It's time to get serious. Psalms 38. Read that 1-3 with me. Now here's David. He said, oh God, rebuke me not in your wrath. Don't chasten me in your displeasure, for your arrows stick fast in me, and your hand is pressing me sore. The first thing God does, I don't have time to read the scriptures tonight, He knocks. Still small voice saying, you got a problem, baby. Something ain't right in your life. You hear it. You hear it like the seatbelt warning in your car that aggravates you to death. What do we all want to do with that thing? We just want to shut it up. So we put the stupid seatbelt on, don't we? Why? To shut it up. We do the same thing with the knocking of the Holy Spirit. Because if you truly are His son, He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Yes. Knock, knock! You're drifting. You're taking this too lax.
Oh, thank you.
You're not serious anymore.
Right. Amen.
Knock, knock. You go to sleep and you feel that. You try to kick that out of your mind. You know you shouldn't have smiled at that girl like that. Or you know you shouldn't have cheated like you. You know, but the knocking of, listen to me. That knocking is the goodness of the Lord. And He'll keep knocking, Justina, until you drift so far away that the knocking is in a distance and you can't hear it anymore. Then he goes to stage two. David told you what it was. He takes out his arrows. God takes out his arrows. The knocking didn't work. He pulls back his arrow.
The arrows are not meant to kill you. They're meant to stop you.
Thank you, Jesus.
He takes that job away from you that took you out of church. He takes that bank account that you was robbing him with. He takes this. You feel, how many of you have been walking through life and you felt it when it hit you? Maybe it was that car wreck. Maybe it was that sickness, something. You felt it. You said, I know what this is about. He hit you right there. Jacob made him limp. That was the arrow of the Lord. Put that limp in Jacob's side. The arrow will make you limp back to the altar, hopefully. Daddy, the arrows of the Lord will come to your kneecaps. Try to make you fall down. He's not out to kill you. He's been letting you bow for years. But he's got a plan for your life. And it's a lot bigger than what you're living up to. And he's determined that you're going to be who he called you to be. I said he's determined you're going to serve him. He's determined that you're going to live for him.
Amen. That's right.
The wise son feels that arrow. And he opens them back doors and drags that leg down to that altar. And says, one more time, Lord, one more time. Here I am, just as I am. Here he comes, dragging that leg. I need help, Lord. Oh, yes, you may have done. Don't you understand? God don't care how many times you come dragging that leg. He just wants you to come dragging it.
That's right.
He don't care how many times you messed up. I promise you, he don't care. Because as long as you're dragging the leg, he still believes you're going to be what he called you to be. But when he hits you with all the arrows and you keep running, mad at God, don't believe in God. Yes, you do. You're a liar. You believe in him. You got to act like you don't to soothe your conscience. You believe. You're running. Now, you've turned your bitterness to God. When that happens, you enter into the third stage of divine discipline. You enter into the third stage of divine discipline. Psalms chapter 7, verse 12. Psalms chapter 7, verse 12. When the preacher closes his Bible, that's pretty safe that he's getting ready to close. Psalms chapter 7, verse 12. I want to show you what happens when God can't reach you. If he turns not, then I'll draw out my sword. The first stage was what? Second stage was what? Third stage, he breaks his silence. He comes because if he can't have you, he ain't gonna let the devil have you. He's fixing to destroy your life upside down, down the other. You won't recognize yourself when it's over. He will tear you to pieces. There was a man in the church, and I'm not going to read it to you. You know it's in there. I believe 1 Corinthians 5 and 5. There was a man committing adultery in the church. Now, if he would have been to our church, we would have put him in the choir, let him lead the choir. Tell me I'm lying. Oh, you can play a piano? Oh, please play. Oh yeah, we're in a different church now than God's church. We're in an entertainment center now. If he turns not, I'm gonna whet my sword. He said, go to that man that's committing adultery. and talk to him. What was that?
Right.
That was God knocking. Using people. Be careful lest you entertain angels unaware. God will send people to tell you what you don't want to hear in your life.
Yes.
Knock, knock. And he said, now, if he won't listen to you, go get a few brothers. And y'all go talk to him. Right. Tell him he can't stay up in my house doing that. Tell him he can't preach. He can't do nothing.
Yes.
Living in adultery.
Right.
And if he refuses the error, here's what I want you to do. Y'all already know, some of you. Paul said, I want you to kick him out of the church. Now, that wouldn't go over in our churches today. We believe in loving everybody.
Right.
Y'all can't handle truth, I'm telling you. It's a lot different than what they preach today.
Right.
Paul knew, as if you let sin in the church, the sinner, you're sending that sinner to hell when you let them feel the presence of the Holy Ghost living in sin.
Yeah, that's right.
Let somebody, I've seen lesbians worshiping the Lord right with the saints, and we just think it's beautiful. Look at, they feeling God. They're being deceived, and it's your fault, because you won't dare mention lesbianism while they're in the service. Oh, I don't care if you like me or not. You're sending them to hell because you don't know how to preach. Listen. He said, when you let people sit in the house of God, feeling the presence of God, service after service, they begin to think they're okay with God. You're sending them to hell. He said, I want you to kick that man out of the church, and I want you to turn him over to Satan, which is my sword. Y'all know, did y'all know your Bible said that? Okay. I'm not making this up. Matter of fact, put it on the screen for him. 1 Corinthians 5 and 5, I believe. Now, why would God, Brother Vaughn, that's mean to kick somebody out the church. Why would you ever want to do that? Why wouldn't you want them to stay and let us love on them? Because that's not love.
Right.
Thank you.
You're an enabler.
You want to talk about enabling drug addicts. You're just as big of an enabler when you enable sin in the house of God.
Yes. Right.
Somebody said, well, they won't be comfortable coming. They're not supposed to be.
Right.
This is the congregation of the righteous.
Amen.
1 Corinthians, you got it? 5 and 5 or 5 and 15. It's one of them. Now, here, why did God tell him that? There's a reason. Not because he wants to kick the man out of the church. But he said, deliver him to Satan for the destruction of his flesh.
Right.
That the Spirit might be saved. God's not destroying you to hurt you. He's destroying you to save you.
Right.
Darling.
Amen.
And when you realize that, then you will offer him the only sacrifice he wants. Thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, that you took away everything I had. Thank you.
Right. Amen. That's right.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you took away my job. Thank you, Lord, that you took it all.
Thank you.
That proves you're a son and not a fool. When you can thank the Lord for, whenever you can say like Job, the Lord giveth. Blessed.
Amen.
Let's stand tonight. Hallelujah. Somebody shout, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It is time to get serious about God.
Amen.